Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. It's Monday. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our phone number down here is 1-800-795-9565. We're talking sports. We got baseball, football. Okay, we're in a weird spot in sports right now. We're in a very strange spot where some things are happening and some things are not. Don't really know what the it depends on what you want to do. It depends on what kind of fan you are. If you're a baseball fan, you're like knee deep in pennant races and whatnot. And depending on where you are in the sports, you know, in the sports realm, in the baseball realm, what fandom you root for determines whether or not you're fully into it. Me as a Met fan, I'm completely out of it. I'm just watching from a distance. But as a baseball fan in general, I'm enjoying all kinds of different things. Before we get into any real content, though, this is the Steve Jones Show. We are waiting for Steve to come into the Sunbury Motors studio. You can always reach us here. Again, you can pick up the phone. It's the easiest, most direct way, 1-800-795-9565. Or you can go to Twitter, at Steve Jones PSU, or just search the Steve Jones Show. Or you can go to stevejonesshow.com. There's an email address up there. You can also download and listen to other podcasts, or if you're on Google Play or iTunes or any of the multitude of podcast sites, I'm sure you could find the Steve Jones Show. That's always interesting. Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance and Sunbury Motors, so be sure to frequent those if you're looking for all your insurance needs. Purdy Insurance, they've been doing it forever. They treat you like one of their own. Go to Purdy Insurance, and then Sunbury Motors. I know everybody here at the station drives Sunbury, a car from Sunbury Motors, so they're trustworthy. Now, on to sports. If you're an NFL guy, you're eagerly awaiting preseason. You're eagerly awaiting that first snap. I mean, you know, we had the Hall of Fame game already. That's fine, but that feels like already a week ago. It feels like forever ago already. I mean, it was Thursday. But still, it feels like forever ago. Nothing really, really happened. We saw our first glimpse at the terrible helmet rule that's going to be really difficult to wrap your head around. And it's going to tick off a whole lot of people throughout the course of the season. But unless you're like a hardcore camp junkie, football doesn't really start until like later this week when the first preseason games kick in. Right now, it's about baseball. And this weekend, there was a premiere holy cow end of the earth type series, or what should have been a premier end of the world holy cow type series between the Red Sox and the Yankees that turned out to be somewhat of a dud until last night. And unfortunately for Yankees fans, the Yankees got swept 4-0. So every race in the American League pretty much over. Pretty much. However, here on WKOK, and the fans around here being Phillies and Pirates fans, we have a lot more to look into. We have a lot more to be interested in. The Phillies are first place in a pennant race. Made great moves. Tremendous moves at the trade deadline to really bolster their team. And they're going for it. They might have arrived a year early, but they are certainly going for it. And they proved that. And they're trying to take advantage of that. And they are winning. They continue to win. They're a game and a half up on the Atlanta Braves at the moment, who are sitting in second place and also sitting in the second wild card spot in the National League East. Well, in the National League as a whole, in the National League East, they're 1.5 games up on Atlanta. Washington's still lurking in the back at 6 games back, but you know, Washington's been there, done that. They're a regular season juggernaut. They are putrid in the playoffs, but they are a regular season juggernaut. So you got to watch out for them. I thought after they beat the brains out of the New York Mets last week, hanging 25 runs on them, I thought that was going to be their jumping off point. And, you know, they've been 7-3 in their last 10. Who knows? But your Philadelphia Phillies, 63-48 on the season. Who knew at the beginning of the season? I remember talking to the suit, who, that's what Steve calls him. I call him Kevin, but Steve calls him the suit. At the beginning of the season, all he said he wanted out of his Phillies team was a competitive season. Well, you got more than that. You are well competitive and looked at as a potential NLCS team. There's no dominant team in the National League this year. The Dodgers probably have the most talent, but really, they still haven't gotten out of their own way despite making tremendous moves, despite picking up a world beater like Manny Machado. They're still only .500 team in the last 10 games. So, and they're right on pace with Philly. It's not like the Phillies are pulling away from them. But they're 62-51. It's not like they're lighting the world on fire. And they're tied for first place with Arizona. 2 games back is only Colorado. And the Giants are still looming at 5 games back. And as long as you have a Madison Bumgarner, you can't really be... you can't count the Giants out as long as you have a staff like that. So... the National League is wide open and for the taking, and the Phillies, they're knee-deep. They're in it. They're in it to win it, and they've proven that by the moves that they have made. Now, if you're a Pirates fan, Western Pennsylvania, it's a little bit different. It's kind of more of a long shot. You really don't have a chance at the division at 7.5, and, you don't have the talent. Nobody expected the Pirates to be there again. But if you're dealing with a National League wildcard-type situation... you're only 5 games back in the wild card.
There we go.
Hey, Steve. I was wondering where you were. I was hearing some kickback, but...
No, we had to reconnect everything here.
Oh, that's awesome.
On my end. So I had to go through the whole sequence. I mean, literally I had to shut... It froze. So because it froze, I then had to go through the entire sequencing from... restart all the way through.
I'm starting to feel like it's me. This happens every time I'm here.
No. We're good, Chris. We're good. No.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. I think, like I said, we just had to do a quick sequencing here to make sure that we got it back and connected. I mean, we're fortunate we were able to do it the way we do it here. Yeah, but every once in a while, I think it was Friday night through the flooding.
Oh, the flooding was awful.
Yeah, we had a power outage here, like an extensive one.
Jeez.
So, and we have underground wires where I live. So, I mean, it was obviously at some sort of, substation, something like that. But yeah, I mean, that's, and like, usually if we lose power here, it's for 15 seconds, maybe. Pops on, pops off. That hasn't even happened in a long time. We rarely, over the years, have lost power for any extensive period of time until the other night was one of them.
Wow!
So
turn the clock back to like the 90s.
Yeah, I know exactly. there we go. We're back in business here. Great to have you with us. Great to have you on board as well. Look, there's nothing much to add here at the moment about the Urban Meyer situation. They say they're going to try and get it done within 14 days. We know what Urban Meyer said on Friday night. Everyone knows how I feel about parsing the language. I failed, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, look, you lied, okay?
Should he lose his job over that, though?
I don't know. Well, not the lying to the media, no. No, but the, you know, but this, you know, this mumbo jumbo. So I got a text last night about a 2015 incident. You didn't get it last night, Urban.
Right.
All right. It's like the, add that plus 900 days. I mean, seriously. I got it. What he said in Chicago was, I got a text about this last something like about this last night. Okay, plus 930 days. I mean, come on.
Right.
It's like, I mean.
Well, I mean, is it at all possible? I mean, because this is kind of I don't want to say it's a Me Too movement thing, but it's definitely like a new development that and domestic violence is a thing, and it's coming out all over the place. Like, maybe it's something that he heard 930 days ago, but really didn't. He was like, well, yes. You know, they're married. I don't want to get involved or whatever.
No, that's the problem, is that he freely admits that in 2009 he and his wife did get involved.
Oh, all right. Well, then.
They freely admit that they got involved. They advised counseling. Yeah, because, you know, it is. Look, so we'll see what Ohio State comes up with. I don't know what they're going to come up with. And to me, it's not just as simple as we interview Urban Meyer, we interview Shelley Meyer, we interview Courtney Smith, right? I mean, to me, you've got to interview everybody in the staff that was there in 2015, because guess what? Under Title IX, they can report it. Now, if Urban reported it, and they also had to interview Gene Smith. But those are the new developments. And I, you know, unless somebody breaks a story, I don't see how, you know, beyond, I can't imagine unless somebody breaks the story, there's going to be nothing new about this. How about that? I just can't envision anything new coming out about this until then, because, well, I'll say this, one person that has not commented at all has been Gene Smith. He's not said a word about it. Okay, that's fine. But Urban Meyer and Zach Smith, Zach Smith in particular, made it very clear that Gene Smith knew because Urban told him. Well, okay. But there are still basic questions. The basic questions have to be, okay, explain this to me that in knowing about the 2009 incident, why when you had an opportunity to get rid of him then you did not? Okay. And he can give his explanation. Okay, then why did you hire him at Ohio State? And then when the 2015 incident came up, since you already knew about the 2009 incident, why did you retain him? I mean, why? Now, I understand that the livelihood of a family is based around what he does as the provider. I understand that. But you can't have this person, quote, teaching young men. Teaching them what? Can't do that. And so, okay. So 2009, if I'm Florida, I'm trying to find out right now from Jeremy Foley, did Urban Meyer report this to you? If I'm Florida, I'm trying to find out right now. Even though Jeremy Foley is no longer the athletic director there, I'd still be making a phone call saying, hey, look, we want to make sure that like this whole thing was handled right. And I would want to find out, if I'm the Ohio State grouping, I would be sitting down and talking with each assistant coach that was on the staff in 2015, because, again, her quote is quite direct. She said, quote, all the wives knew. Okay, well, if all the wives knew, that would mean that there are several people on the current staff that are still in the current staff. What did they know? Did their wives tell them? Because under Title IX reporting obligations, it is not just Urban Meyer that would have had that could report that. Any person in the workplace can report it. Any person can. Right? From the janitor to the secretary to the head coach to another assistant coach, right? Everyone is under the obligation to report it if they know about it. Now, is this a case where Urban reported it to Gene Smith, and then since he is higher up on the chain than they are, that absolves them from having to report anything, because they could have reported it any time. And this is something where, for example, I pointed out to people that at Penn State, in the last 16 months, I've had to take 5 tests. I've had to take a Clery Act test. I've had to take a mandatory reporter test. I've had to take a compliance test. I've had to take a Title IX test, and I had to take a sexual harassment test. Right? And each one is very, very clear. Right? If you know of something, right, you have to report it. It doesn't say a single word in there about you being a supervisor. In other words, everybody is responsible for reporting it. Everybody. And that's very clear when I've been taking the tests. I mean, why am I taking the test? I mean, why? Why am I taking the test? I'm not in charge of anything. I'm serious. I mean, I'm taking the test because it's a responsibility of everybody at the university. Everybody has the same responsibility. From the president down.
I was just chuckling at you being in charge of anybody.
Yeah, and I'm barely in charge of me. The heck? All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
All right, let's get to it. Must be football season if I hear from Doug in Wellsboro. Hello, Doug. How are you?
Steve, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's really great to hear from you, Doug.
It's been a while since I talked to you, and I want to talk about this Ohio State mess.
Okay.
How in the world can they set a timeline of 14 days and complete an investigation and arrive at a conclusion? It's just cover for Urban Meyer to save his job.
Well, I think you could do it in 14 days, because I think if you talk to Courtney Smith, you talk to Zach Smith, if they allow you to, the Myers, Gene Smith, I think now, and then maybe get police reports on the Powell Police Department. I think now you can do it if you can find it that way. Now, you may have to talk to other assistants, but the fact that Urban Meyer has indicated, and Zach Smith has, that he reported it up the chain, you may not have to interview other assistants because a superior reported it up the chain. So I think you can do it in 14 days because all the people available are right there for you, and you can interview them and then start to piece together is what you think is the truth and what isn't.
Second thing, where's our good buddy Jim Delaney and Mark Emmert? It took them, what, all the weekend to come down with probation and stuff on Penn State? Obviously, if they reported up the chain, this is loss of institutional control. Why went over this weekend? Why isn't Ohio State with HIP probation, 4-year bowl ban, fines?
Well, you know what? I've always said that it's always important to learn from something. And you and I both know that what they did with Penn State was wrong. So now do I want to then take that same standard and apply something wrong to somebody else? I don't think that's right, because I'm not interested in a pound of flesh.
I just settle for some of the bowl money reinstated, things like that. But
well, the bowl money being reinstated, here's the problem with that. That's brought up a lot, but it's brought up in a way where there's a lack of knowledge of it, and that's where I think it's important, because you know where the bowl money went. The bowl money went to 11 other cities' charities. That's where it went. So, in other words, you'd be taking away money that went to charities. I mean, Penn State, you know, should not have lost its bowl money, but it was designated for charities in 10 other cities. And that's the problem. It's gone because it directly did go to charities that helped out children.
The other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by the great people at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their customers the best insurance. I don't care what it is, auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. All at the best price. They'll find you the best price. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Doug, if you want to call back, that'd be great, because I can tell you weren't done yet, and I know we hit the bottom of the hour for the news. So, Doug in Wellsboro, I apologize for... We're right in the middle of and asking some really good questions, as a matter of fact. He asked about, you know, why no Mark Emmert, why no Jim Delaney like there was 6 years ago. And my point is simple, is that what they did 6 years ago was wrong. And do I want them to keep doing the same wrong thing over and over again, even though it's not Penn State this time? And we got to be better, you know. To me, you know, got to be better than that, even though the temptation is like, oh, well, happened to, quote, us. Look how, quote, we got treated. Now somebody else is being treated differently. They're being treated differently because they realize, I think, that they made big mistakes back then. I would rather not have mistakes repeated. I'd rather have them adjusted to, even though it doesn't help Penn State. And the money that Penn State gave, I know I've always felt strongly that Penn State never should have been fined at all, but they had to figure out what to do with the money, and part of what they did with the bowl money, it was the bowl money in particular, was they took it and they gave it to charities. And I remember I saw a list of specific charities that received contributions bowl-wise in the various cities. Well, it's kind of hard to look around. It wasn't like the Big Ten kept the money and just threw it in the bank. It actually was then given to various charities, which then makes it difficult to then start talking about, well, we should get bowl money. Yeah. Did we get Doug back?
Indeed we did. We do have Doug back.
Doug, honorary co-host of the show. Great to have you with us.
Hey, I took that as an insult. I listen to you every day, Steve. I don't listen just during football season. Don't you remember that epic Winter Olympics call we had with your buddy, the suit?
Yes, I do remember that, as a matter of fact. I also remember that there was moments of weakness on your part where you sided with him.
Well, that's true. That's true.
That's always a weak moment.
I thought to myself, my goodness, Doug's stronger than this.
It was the whole bacon sales goal thing. I felt bad for him.
We both feel the same way about that. There is an element of pity there.
Hey, I just had a couple more points that I wanted to ask about.
Sure.
Gene Smith, that guy, was he the AD when Jim Tressel was there?
Yes.
And yeah, how does he survive that, along with, wasn't there an incident or something with Thad Mata? Thad Mata wanted to coach longer or something. That guy, that Gene Smith is like Teflon.
So far, okay, when it comes to Jim Tressel, that was of Jim Tressel's making, because Jim Tressel was fired for lying to the NCAA. And So that really didn't involve Gene Smith, except he's probably the one that had to tell Jim Tressel that he was fired on Memorial Day weekend in 2011. What was the other one you brought up? Thad Matta. Thad Matta. It's interesting about Thad Matta. Thad Matta has a really bad back. I mean, I'm talking to the point, Doug, where when Thad walks, there are times where he has to drag his leg. It's tough. And I've talked to Thad about this. He's hanging in there at times. And they decided to part ways with him, but I think they decided to part ways with him not because of the back issue. I think they decided to part ways with him because I think they felt that the last couple of years they weren't as good as they hoped they would be, and they decided to move on, and they were able to get Chris Holtmann in there, and Holtmann seems like so far to be a good hire. So there's not a lot of controversy surrounding Thad Matta when it comes to Gene Smith. And Gene Smith also came long after any accusations of what's happened in the wrestling program.
Do you know him personally? Have you met him?
I've only met Gene Smith, said hi to him. I do not know him at all.
Okay. Last thing real quick. How's Blake Gilligan doing? Is he going to be legitimately going to be a place kicker? Too soon to tell? Jake Penninger? Who is it?
First of all, let's start with Blake Gilligan. As a punter, it is the best start I've ever seen any punter have in a camp. but as a place kicker, to be honest with you, they've got several guys in there. Penninger, Vlad Hilling, and a couple of other guys that have stepped in that I think are showing the opportunity that they're actually going to be the ones that have the ability to compete for this thing. And that's what I found interesting about it. Vlad Hilling is from Hollidaysburg. Penninger, I think everybody knows about. And I want to say there's a third guy here as well, where so far I think it's between that those three are going to get a lot of reps.
Isn't there another walk-on that's trying?
Yes. I'm taking 1 second here to look him up.
Like, it's not Shikalimi, of course.
Neshaminy,
yeah.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. I just sent this to Jack this morning. I want to say, let's see, there's Raphael Cheka, but I think it's Justin Tobin. And, of course, there's Carson Landis.
Okay.
So those are the guys there, and I think everyone knows what Gilligan can do. How about that? So that's a given that you know what Gilligan can do. I think everybody wants to see, though, what the other guys can do. And if they can do what they're hoping and what they're off, and what seems to be off to a decent start, you want to stay away from an Anthony Ferris situation if you can, where the guy's kicking off, the guy is punting, and the guy is place kicking as well. It can be done, but I think you'd like to avoid it if you can. James has always had the feeling that he'd like to separate it. He's never been big on having one guy do everything.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the update. Hey, how'd you make out the paintball battle?
I watched the paintball battle. I was exiting a Spikes game. It was on Wednesday. I was exiting a Spikes game because the Spikes played at noon. And it was rain delayed as well, so it didn't. The game, I didn't get out of there until like 5:30. And I drove in and I saw the paintball area set up, and I thought, what the heck? The last time I saw them do that was during Bill O'Brien's term there. Like, okay. I went by and said, I think I'm going to play paintball? So then I go out, and I stood on the hill and watched. Under the category of, I'll play paintball with you guys. What could possibly go wrong? He's the head coach. So he's exiting. And I just turned, got back in my car, thought, under the category of what could possibly go wrong with this idea.
There looked like some carnage there on that thing.
Oh, I mean, well, first of all, I don't know about you. I've never done it before. But it can leave welts. And, you know, I'm like, you're watching them shooting each other, and somebody puts the gun above their head, and they're supposed to exit, and they do it. Well, of course, when he did it, now his luck would have it, he wasn't at the exit area, okay, when he got, quote, knocked out, okay, which meant he had to go from the longest point A to the longest point B to exit, and along the way, everybody made sure he knew it.
That's not good. That's a long way to go.
Yeah, it's okay, because it's also a long camp, Doug.
Good point.
And if you're taking names.
Okay, thanks a lot, Steve, for taking my call.
Hey, anytime. And, Doug, I do see what your point, what you're saying, but you see what I'm saying. It's like, you know what? I mean, I wouldn't want people to make the same mistakes over and over and over again just because, you know, how this was treated here was not treated the right way by outside entities. I don't want the same thing for somebody else.
I know. I brought it up, but I mean, I legitimately know the big picture. I mean, there's countless of schools, Michigan State, you know, the stuff with the Petrino. There's countless schools ever since they lowered the boom in Penn State. I mean, they've kind of moved away from the probation stuff. I mean, I guess it's going on everywhere. But it just irks me. Delaney was supposed to show up Friday night to Michelle Steele roundtable for ESPN. He cancels. It was scheduled for
Yes. Lunch.
He cancels. He hides.
Yes.
I mean, so I don't know what else to say.
This is what I will make this point here, right? It sounds, according to Zach Smith, Urban reported this to Gene Smith, the athletic director. Right? That's what he said.
So did
okay.
Joe.
Right? And that's exactly right. That part is the double standard I don't understand. I don't understand the double standard. Joe did exactly the same thing.
That you hit on the exact point. That's what just irks me to no end. Joe did more than what he should have. But it was it's a big double standard. Joe is a lot bigger name, I don't care what they say, than Urban or anything like that. And what they did to Joe, for all the good he did, to treat him like that, and the board of directors, the board of trustees hides, it just still irks me to this day, and it always will.
Well, there are a lot of people that feel that way, Doug, obviously, because they've made their feelings known about that over time. And when it comes, again, he did what he was supposed to do. And I think, you know, it's interesting in listening to Zach Smith's interview on Friday night. And I sat down and took the time to listen to it once I got back from doing a game on Friday night. And he made the point. He said, well, he's not an investigator, you know, about Urban Meyer, which is exactly right. You have paid professionals that are supposed to be the ones that do the investigating as to whether something happens. It's only your job to report it. You're, you know, in this case, Urban Meyer is a football coach. Well, he's not, you know, he's not with the FBI, right? He's a football coach. So you follow protocol and you do what you're supposed to do. I don't care what your position is. Joe Paterno did exactly the same thing. There's no difference in terms of each one reporting once they found out about something up the chain. And, you know, obviously now everyone's looking at the mistakes that have been made over time in other areas. So I think they're treating it, you know, I think a bit differently. But, you know, but Joe did the same thing. He found out and did what he was supposed to and reported. And then, you know, and then people say, well, he should have done more. Done what? You have paid professionals that actually know how to treat these things. It's up to them to find out.
Okay, I don't want to take up any more of your time, but thanks for answering my questions. When's the first Penn State coaches show?
First coaches show will probably not have James on it, and because I want to say, trying to do subtraction here, Doug, you know how fun that is. I think the 23rd, is that a Thursday?
Yeah, it's a Thursday.
Yeah, that'll be probably a general one, because I know their practice. I've got the practice schedule here. I can tell you right now he's not doing the first one unless he leaves practice. On Thursday the 23rd, practice 6:05 to 7:08. So, that's, okay. But then he'll definitely do the one on the 30th.
Okay. Thanks very much, Steve.
Anytime, Doug. You know it's always a pleasure. You know, even though you had that one break during the Olympics, and it's, you know, took me a while to reconcile that one, Doug.
Kevin. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Doug. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. It is great to have you with us today. Phillies are playing great. Off to Arizona tonight for the next step in this journey.
It's going to be a tough one. Arizona's no joke.
Neither are the Phillies.
No. They made some really good moves, and good thing they did, because I think Washington's on the horizon, and I think they're going to come fast. I think they're going to come hard. I think they're on the come.
Well, I give, Bob, I want to give Atlanta credit. Atlanta was really listening at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlanta has hung with the Phillies. I think they're still a game and a half back, I believe.
They sure are. They're a game and a half back right now.
In all of this. Now, Washington's better, although getting Greg Holland to be their closer never has been high on my list as a closer.
Really?
But Greg Holland? No.
I mean, this year is the only year he's really been terrible.
I was not big on Greg Holland when the Royals won the championship.
Hmm. Interesting.
I felt Herrera and Wade Davis were both better than Holland.
Well, I agree with Wade Davis, for sure.
I thought he was the third best of the triumvirate that closed games for them. Davis was dominating in that eighth-inning setup role. I thought Herrera, with that fastball up around 100, was dominating in the seventh inning. I'd have flipped Holland to the seventh inning and then pitched Herrera in the eighth and Davis in the ninth.
Davis was a beast that year.
Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, I felt Holland was the weak link of the three.
Hmm.
That's me.
Well, Atlanta's sitting in the wild card position right now, the second one. Milwaukee's first in that wild card position. Phillies are a game and a half up. Arizona is a half a game out. They're tied with the Dodgers for first place. So,
well, the Phillies have a chance to have the best record in the National League.
They sure do.
Yeah, I think the Cubs are in that spot right now. Now, the Cubs may get the single biggest acquisition down the stretch of anybody, and that would be Chris Bryant.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Who's been out.
Yeah, right now the Cubs are one game up on the Phillies. So, yeah, Phillies are right with them. Everybody, the National League is so stacked right now, it's crazy in terms of wide open, whereas the American League is pretty much already settled. The only question would be between Oakland and Seattle. That's pretty much what it comes down to. But the National League is wide open. There's like 10 teams within 5.5 games of the wild card.
Right. And the Pirates are one of them, but the Pirates, hey, we're hot. No, you're not. You're 4-6 in your last 10 games.
Right.
You're not hot. You are what you are, which is pretty much. Now, look, I thought they were going to win 72 games this year. Then I revised it in June to 75. So at least I'm being accurate with the numbers I'm giving everybody.
Yeah, I mean, they're a 500 team. That's what it looks like.
But they're going to be a 500 team, I think, in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I give them credit for trying.
Sure.
I give them credit for trying. I mean, the Chris Archer deal, let's see how that pans out. But I respect the fact that they made that deal.
Yep.
I think long-term that's going to help them to have them on there. But I think there's a reality, too. Archer is not a number one. Archer probably, in the end, is a number three. Now, with the Pirates rotation, that probably means he's a two, with Tyone being your one.
Yep.
Okay, that's fine. I like what the Phillies did with Ramos.
Oh, that's a great deal.
I mean, I know he's not playing right now, so you're just playing the waiting game for him to come back. But this guy defensively is really good.
Oh, he's great.
And the guy's a .297 hitter with 14 home runs.
Right, he's an all-star. He's a tremendous player.
Right. Tremendous. He's really, really good, and he's going to help the Phillies. I don't care if he's, somebody said he might not be back to Labor Day. So what? Well, still got 30 games left at Labor Day.
Yeah, so, that's true. You have a whole month left.
All right. So, I mean, I wouldn't get all that concerned or worked up about it. You acquired a big time guy, and the Phillies did not give up any one of their top 30 prospects to make these deals.
No, and they picked up the only Mets all star in Cabrera, who's been okay for them. He's hit two home runs in two games in a row. He's been, he's going to be good for them down the stretch. So
he won it for them yesterday.
Yep, he sure did.
And I like the Phillies pitching because, look, I know they didn't face either one of the Red Sox aces along the way. I mean, they did do it. They faced Price, and Price pitched really well.
Right.
But they didn't face Sale or Porcello. But they still went toe-to-toe with the Red Sox, and they played really, really well.
They sure did.
I mean, they split the two games. I think I want to say they've got them coming up again next week in Philadelphia.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox, the way they're going right now, even when they do stuff wrong, they're still fine.
I can't believe they won that game last night. I shut it off when it was 4-1. I'm like, the Yankees had to win one of them.
No, I thought the Red Sox might win because, again, it's just the way they've been. I know that Yankee fans will say the obvious, which is true, by the way. No Gary Sanchez, no Aaron Judge. Those are two gigantic holes in their lineup.
Sure.
But it's not like the good ship Boston Red Sox is swimming along and everything's fine. Chris Sale was supposed to pitch the opener.
Yep.
Still on the disabled list. They haven't had Pedroia.
Well, the Red Sox are just better.
So then they acquire Ian Kinsler, which I thought was a great pickup. Oh, and now he's on the disabled list. And Rafael Devers is on the disabled list.
Yep.
And both their catchers are on the disabled list.
They're going to win 110 games.
Right. And that shows the depth that they have.
Yep.
That's their depth. I mean, they're missing three starters.